Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. Great to have you listening to our program today. Looking forward to worshiping God today at the Eastside Church of Christ, and we want you to come out and be with us if you can. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, 9 o'clock this morning for a Bible study and worship assembly. And we'd love for you to come out and be with us. Enjoy the honor, really, and the privilege of worshiping God together, studying His Word, and honoring Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth and gave His life for us. If you can't join us at Eastside, check us out online. Our services are live streamed. You can go to our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, Alabama, or look at our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Go there and click on the media tab and the live streaming. But again, we invite you to come and be with us, worship God at Eastside, and come to know the one who is the light of the world. Jesus is the light. And so as we begin this morning, let's just start with that. What does it mean for Jesus to be the light of the world? A lot of people this time of year are thinking about Christ. We're in what is known as the Christmas season. Of course, there are a lot of myths surrounding the Christmas season that are not found in Scripture, that are not known to be true, including the very date of the birth of Christ, which is completely unknown to history. And any celebration of it is not found in the Bible either. But people are thinking more this time of year, perhaps, about Christ coming into the world. What does it mean that Christ came into the world as the light of the world? Well, let's start with this. It was prophesied that He would come as a light into the world. In fact, Zacharias, who was the father of John the Baptist, says something about this in Luke 1 and verse 78. Where he says that through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the pathway of peace. So here Zacharias is prophesying and thankful really about what God has done. John the Baptist there has been born, and of course he's the harbinger of the Christ, the one who would pave the way for the Lord to come. But he talks about the tender mercy of God. And he uses the word day spring, as it's translated here, which is really the name of a star. A bright star is the idea of it in the original language. And so this bright star is come into the world to give light to those who sit in darkness. What Zacharias is talking about, of course, is the hope of the world, Jesus Christ Himself coming into the world. Zacharias' words echo the prophecy of Isaiah that was given almost 700 years before the birth of Christ. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and His glory will be seen upon you." So the glory of the Lord is prophesied to come to a people who are in deep darkness, to illuminate them, to give them light. So according to Zacharias and to the prophecy of Isaiah as well, Jesus is coming as a light in the world in order to do at least three things. First of all, He came as a light into the world to give light to those who sit in darkness, and that probably represents the hopelessness and the despair of living in sin, separated from God. What a horrible condition that is, and it's really the condition of much of the world today, isn't it? That many people don't really know the Lord. They're living in their sins. Their lives are filled with darkness and things that the forces of darkness are accomplishing in their lives. And so they need light. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 46, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in Me should not abide in the darkness." You know, Jesus came as a light so you don't have to keep on living in darkness. However dark your world may be, whatever tragedies you may have encountered, whatever evils Satan may be working in your life, and whatever evils you have succumbed to in the way of temptation, doing things that you should not have done, saying things that you should not have said, and having attitudes that you should not have that only darken your world, that make things worse instead of better, Jesus has come to illuminate you, to give light to those who sit in darkness. And the light there is representative of hope, of something that's better, of something that alleviates a lot of the misery of this world that so many experience. So Jesus came to give light to those that sit in darkness. He also came to give light to those who are under the shadow of death, as again Zechariah said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 79. He came to give light to those who are under the shadow of death. You and I are mortal. We are doomed to die. We live lives under the shadow of inevitable death. And without Christ, there's no hope beyond that. So here we are. The shadow of death looms over every last one of us. The Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So all of us are going to die unless Christ comes first. But Christ came and lived a life of flesh and blood in order to, Hebrews 2 and verse 15 says, release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So here we are as mortal beings living in the dread of death, knowing the inevitability of it. And yet Christ has come to give us light, to shine a light into what's beyond death, to give us hope of a life that's beyond this life. Indeed, we're subject to bondage, the bondage of the fear of death in this lifetime. But Christ alleviates that. He eliminates that if we'll believe in Him and have hope in Him, hope that comes from a belief and obedience to His will. So Christ came to give light to those who sit in darkness, to give light to those who are under the shadow of death, and also, as Zechariah says, to guide the feet of those who cannot see the way to go. Light guides us, right? So we have lights on our automobiles so we can see where to go. We use flashlights in dark areas. Everybody has a flashlight on their phone nowadays to see things that otherwise you couldn't see. So Jesus came to guide our path. After Jesus' birth in Luke chapter 2, there's a man who was in the temple who meets Jesus as a child. And Simeon is his name. And Simeon said that Jesus was a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. Jesus gives light. He brings revelation. He gives understanding. Revelation from God, obviously, is found in His Word. Revelation from God shows us the way we need to travel in our lives. The Bible says His Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Jesus Himself is the living Word of God who provides that light for us, who gives us direction and shows us ways to live in this life, paths to take that are good and that will lead us ultimately to eternal life. And so our program, after all, is called The Way That Leads to Life. Jesus is the light, and Jesus is the light that shows the way that leads to life. Jesus, when He came into this world and accomplished what He did by His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, fulfilled a prophecy that's found in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah, again, prophesying about the coming of the Christ, says that in the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, in Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. So Isaiah, again, is talking in prophecy 700 years before Christ comes to this earth, but he talks about where the Christ will come from, so to speak, and where He will do a lot of His work, and where His light will be shown in this world. And he describes it as Zebulun and Naphtali. That's two tribal territories of ancient Israel, but they equate to the area of Galilee, where, of course, Jesus worked much of His earthly ministry all around the Sea of Galilee and in that area. Cities like Capernaum and Cana and Nazareth, Bethsaida, these were some of the places that Jesus went in that area. And so that great light was shown first of all in that land. It was a land where Jews inhabited, but there were many Gentiles there as well. And so it's even described in Isaiah chapter 9 as the land of the Gentiles. Jesus came to be a light, not just to the Jewish people, but to all people. He's not just the light of Israel, but He's the light of the world. And that's indicated in this passage. Well, Jesus, of course, fulfilled all of these prophecies. We've looked at a prophecy that Zacharias made. We looked at two prophecies from Isaiah. And Jesus came as a light into this world to fulfill those prophecies, to do the things that were said of old that he would do. In Matthew chapter 4, in verse 13, we pick up the life of Jesus as now he's begun his earthly ministry. He's spent some time in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And then Matthew 4, starting in verse 13, really records the first public ministry that Jesus engages in. So it says, after leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali. Notice that, just exactly what Isaiah had prophesied 700 years before. Matthew says that's what Jesus did. He comes from Nazareth, which is in Galilee, dwells in Capernaum, which is right by the Sea of Galilee. And this is the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, those territorial areas, tribal areas of ancient Israel. But in this text, he goes on, Matthew does, to say that this was done and that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. So what Matthew does for us here is he ties a couple of these verses together that we've just already noticed. He ties Zacharias' prophecy about Jesus coming as the light, the shine to those who sat in the shadow of death, and also the prophecy in Isaiah that it would be in the land of Galilee, basically, in the area of Galilee, that this light would first be shown. That's really interesting, isn't it? Isn't that a powerful way to increase our faith? Do you realize that it's a known fact that all of the Old Testament was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born? And yet, so many times we can read in Isaiah and many other Old Testament books, prophecies of what the Christ or the Messiah would do. Jesus fulfilled every one of those. He truly is the Christ. This is one of the most amazing things about Scripture, about the Bible. It's not just a book written by men. Men couldn't write that. Men couldn't make this happen. Something's prophesied 700 years before it happens, and it happens just exactly as the prophet said it would, because he's prophesying by the will of God. So many things were prophesied about Jesus, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that his ministry would be in Galilee, as we've just seen. And all of those things, of course, he fulfilled. So Jesus comes as a light into the world. We're interested in thinking more about what did that mean? What does it mean for him to be the light of the world? Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the world who don't know what that means. Even people who may celebrate the birth of Christ, may be people who attend church, may not really grasp what it means for Jesus to be the light of the world. In the Gospel of John, John also introduces Jesus to us as the light. He says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then he says in John 1 and verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness didn't get the light, right? It didn't comprehend the light, didn't understand it, didn't receive it. Light is something that we need to understand if we are to understand Jesus, if we're going to understand why Jesus came and what it is that he accomplished and how it is that he helps us walk the way that leads to life. So the first thing that we can think about when it comes to Jesus being the light, you know, light allows us to examine and expose filth, if you will. If you've ever tried to clean up a space that's kind of dark, first thing you want to do is shine a light on it so you can see where the dirt is, right? Well, you go to a doctor's office and he's trying to examine some part of your body. He's liable to shine a light on that. You go to the dentist. He's going to shine a light in your mouth to see what he's working on, to see where the dirt is in your mouth, right? If you're getting a dental cleaning or something like that. So light is necessary to evaluate and to cleanse. Light is used for examining, and light is used for cleansing. And Jesus came then as a light, and that means he's going to examine us, and through that we're going to be cleansed. And if we are walking in the light and have His light in us, we'll be doing the same. We'll be exposing the filth of the world as we go along, just as Jesus did. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, all things are exposed, all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. In other words, light is that which exposes things. They're made known or manifest by the light. Whatever makes manifest is light. In other words, whatever reveals something, the word manifest means to make known or reveal. Whatever reveals something, well, that's the light. Therefore, Paul goes on to say, Ephesians 13, 5 and verse 13, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. So Christ illuminates us, shows what needs to be cleansed in us, but also gives us the light through His word and through His person to shine elsewhere, to shine around us. Jesus came as a light. Jesus is the light that reveals the dirt even in the cracks and crevices of our lives. In Psalm 90 and verse 8, the psalmist had said, you set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. So even our secret sins are illuminated by the light of the Lord. Of course, some people don't want to see their secret sins, don't want to see their public sins, don't want to acknowledge things that they're doing wrong. Jesus knew that that would be the case. And many people who really don't know who Jesus is, who don't really want Him as a part of their lives, reject Him on this basis. They don't want their sins to be exposed. Jesus knew that would be the case. John 3 and verse 19, the text says this, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who practices evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Do you notice what this text is teaching? Everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light. So Jesus has come into the world as a light. That means He's going to expose our sins. But those who practice evil don't come to the light. They don't want to come to the light, because if they do, their sins are going to be exposed. That's precisely what this verse says. Those practicing evil hate the light. They do not come to the light lest their deeds be exposed. It's easy to think about, you know, the Christ child coming, being born into this world, the great accounts that we have of that birth in Scripture. And everybody loves the concept of God in heaven caring enough about this world to send His Son to save us. But one of the main reasons Jesus came was to be the light that exposes our sins. And unless we accept Him, allow Him to do that for us, to expose our faults, our sins, to shine all through us so that He may clean us up entirely, we have not received Him and we don't really understand what He's all about, because He is surely the light. Not just the light that guides our way, not just the light that gives us hope, but clearly in the passages that we've just looked at, He's the light that exposes our sins. Are we willing to come to the light to see our sins and all their ugliness, to see the truth of what we are and what we've been, but also to have hope then of what we may become? But so many people are afraid to have their sins exposed by the light, to have themselves exposed by the light, who is Jesus. And that's the real barrier between a lot of people coming to Christ and obeying Him and living for Him. I think there are a lot of people who don't want to be Christians because they don't want to give up their sins. They don't want the faults that they have to be exposed to the world. It's as simple as that. You know, if you take a walk out in the woods sometimes, you'll probably come across at some point some tree or log that's laying on the ground. Maybe it's been there a long time and it's starting to rot. If you turn that log over, you'll notice underneath it, typically, there'll be a lot of bugs that are living under there, and worms and various beetles and all sorts of different things. You turn that log over, you see all of that. But everything that's under that log is gonna scurry away immediately. It's not because they're afraid of you, the one who's turned over the log. It's because they're afraid of the light. And that's exactly how humans are. We don't want to be exposed by the light. Some people change their ways when they see the light. Some people understand what's wrong with them when they allow the light to expose them. But other people aren't going to allow that to happen, and they're not going to change by just seeing the light. They're going to have to feel the heat. They're going to have to understand the bad consequences of their sins before they change. So light reveals the filth that is in us, but light does more than that. As we've already said, Jesus came as a light. He came as a light to show us the way to walk in this world. In fact, Jesus himself says in John 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." When you have Jesus, you have a light that shows you the way to go so that you don't have to walk in darkness. Darkness, of course, is the realm of evil. It is doing that which is contrary to the will of God if we're walking in darkness. And the thing about walking in darkness is you're going to fall. You walk in darkness, even sometimes, literally, if you're walking in darkness, even in an area where you're familiar, you may stub your toe on your couch walking through your house at night in the dark, because even though you knew it was there. I had a friend several years ago. He was walking through his house at night, didn't have any lights on, stubbed his toe on the fireplace and broke his toe. That fireplace had been there the whole time, but he couldn't see it in the darkness. And so it is with us spiritually. We need light to see where we're going, and Jesus provides that light. He who has that light shall not walk in darkness. It keeps us from stumbling. Jesus says then in John 11 and verse 9, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. If one walks in darkness, he stumbles because the light is not in him." So to understand Jesus as the light, what we're saying is he's going to be the one who shows us the way to go. And unless we're following his direction and his illumination, we are going to stumble. That means we're going to fall spiritually. We'll probably stumble in other areas in our lives. And our lives will not be what they ought to be. They will not be filled with light. We won't get to where we want to go because we can't see where we're going. We won't walk the way that leads to life because it's not illuminated for us without Jesus. We must have Jesus and his word to guide us. We can see and know where we're going. Jesus says in John 12 and verse 35, "Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. Jesus gives us enough light to see where we're going. We may not have all the light we'd like to have walking in Christ. We might like to see, all the way to the end of our lives and all of that sort of thing and every step along the way and have the whole pathway illuminated for us well in advance. But a lot of times, Jesus gives us enough light just to take the next step, just to see what we're supposed to see right now in the moment, and that's enough. Just keep on trusting him. It's like your headlights right on your car. They don't shine all the way to the end of the road unless it's a really short road. They just shine far enough to help you keep driving in the way that you're supposed to go. And that's the light that Christ gives us. And so we drive a car, if you will, by faith, right, in the light. And so it is with our lives. We walk the way that leads to life, walking by faith. Just walking the way that Jesus is illuminating. He may not show us all the way to the end of the road, but he'll show us the next step. And that's such an important thing for us to know. We should walk then as children of light. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says, "You were once in darkness," talking to the Ephesian Christians, people who had really been in darkness. He says, "You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Walk as children of light. Christ is our example. He has shown us the way to go. He came to this earth, lived a perfect life, and showed us what that means to live a life that's pleasing to God. Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21 says, light allows us to see where we're supposed to walk. Light allows us to work. It's pretty hard to do lots of different kinds of work in the darkness. We need light to see what we're doing when we're working at most any job. My wife's grandfather was a bit of a farmer in Limestone County, and he was lived long enough ago to remember when they first started to put lights on tractors. He said that should have been a crime to put a light on a tractor, because now farmers not only had to work all day, they put the light on the tractor, and now they have to plow and farm at night as well. And so, of course, that extended their day quite significantly. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. We work in the light, typically. And even if we're working at night, right, nowadays, we're going to have some bright lights shining on what we're doing. Jesus is the light that allows us to do the work of God, that shows us what the work of God is. Jesus also is the light in that he gives us understanding and knowledge, enlightenment, if you will. If you've ever tried to understand some subject in school that you're having difficulty with, but all of a sudden, after studying and thinking about it and getting all sorts of help from your teacher, finally there's this breakthrough, and it's often described as a light coming on, right? When, oh, I see it now. Well, that's how we can be with Jesus. In your light, we see light, the psalmist said in Psalm 36 and verse 9. The Son of God is described in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3 as the brightness of the glory of God. He's the express image of his person. The Son of God is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, one version says in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Jesus reveals to us who God is and what he wants us to be. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul writes that it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is in Jesus Christ that we come to understand who God really is and what he wants of us. Ephesians 1 and verse 17 speaks of the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. We get revelation about what God wants in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that the eyes of your understanding, Paul goes on to say, may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of his glory. The entrance of God's words gives light, and it gives us cleansing. It allows us to cleanse ourselves through the blood of Jesus, through the wonderful work that he did, that if we will believe in him and obey the gospel, we can be cleansed in the light. Jesus came as a light into this world. Is he the light that you receive? Is he the light that you want? Is he the light that illuminates you and guides your steps? Are you following his word in every step that you take? We're begging you to walk the way that leads to life, which means to walk in the light of Jesus Christ.